Acharya Ashtakara Satya Sri Srimad His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Kicha Ananda Koti Vaishnava Vanda Kicha ISKCON BBT Founder Acharya Srila Prabhupada Kicha Prem Sekhruha Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Sri Vasari Gaur Bhaktivinda Kicha Sri Sri Radha Shama Sundar Gopa Gopinath Shama Kund Radha Kund Giri Govardhan Kichai Vrindavandam Kichai Mayapur Navadvipdam Kichai Ganga Devi Jamuna Devi Tulsi Maharani Kichai All glories unto the assembled devotees. All glories unto the assembled devotees. All glories unto the merciful Lordship Sri Sri Guru Sri Garanga Hari Hari Bhav. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. We're reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 1, Chapter 18, entitled Parikrit, Cursed by a Brahmin Boy. Chapter 18, Text 3. Uchrija Sarvata Sangam. Vikyata jita samstiti Bhaya sakya jaha shishya Gangayam svam kalevaram Shri Jayasavata Sarvam. Vigyata Jita Samstiti. Vaya Sakya Jaha Shushya. Gangayam Svankalevaram. Others can chant. Vichita Savita Sangam. Vigyata Jita Samstiti. Vaya Sakya Jaha Shushya. Gangayam Svankalevaram. Uchrija. After leaving aside. Sarvata. All around. Sangam. Association. Vigyata. Being understood. Ajita. One who has never conquered the personality of Godhead. Samstiti, actual position. Vyasake, into the son of Vyas. Jaho, gave up. Shishya, as a disciple. Gangayam, on the bank of the Ganga. Swam, his own. Kalevaram, material body. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Furthermore, after leaving all his associates, the king surrendered himself as a disciple to the son of Vyas, Shukadev Goswami. And thus, he was able to understand the actual position of the personality of Godhead. Please repeat. Furthermore, after leaving all his associates, the king surrendered himself as a disciple to the son of Vyas, Shukadev Goswami. And thus, he was able to understand the actual position of the personality of Godhead. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. The word ajita is significant here. The personality of Godhead, Sri Krishna, is known as ajita, or unconquerable. And he is so in every respect. No one can know his actual position. He is unconquerable by knowledge also. We have heard about his dham, or place, eternal Goloka Vrindavan. But there are many scholars who interpret this abode in different ways. By the grace of a spiritual master like Shukadev Goswami, unto whom the king gave himself up as a most humble disciple, one is able to understand the actual position of the Lord, his eternal abode, and his transcendental paraphernalia in that dham or abode. Knowing the transcendental position of the Lord and the transcendental method by which one can approach that transcendental dham, the king was confident about his ultimate destination. And by knowing this, he could leave aside everything material, even his own body, without any difficulty of attachment. In the Bhagavad Gita, it is stated, Padam drishtva navartate. One can give up all connection with material attachment when one is able to see the param, or the superior quality of things. From Bhagavad Gita, we understand the quality of the Lord's energy that is superior to the material quality of energy. And by the grace of a bona fide spiritual master like Shukadev Goswami, it is quite possible to know everything of the superior energy of the Lord, by which the Lord manifests his eternal name, quality, pastimes, paraphernalia, and variegatedness. Unless one thoroughly understands this superior or eternal energy of the Lord, it is not possible to leave the material energy. However, one may theoretically speculate on the true nature of the Absolute Truth. By the grace of Lord Krishna, Maharaj Parikshit was able to receive the mercy of such a personality as Shukadev Goswami, and thus he was able to know the actual position of the unconquerable Lord. It is very difficult to find the Lord from the Vedic literatures, but it is very easy to know him by the mercy of a liberated devotee like Shukadev Goswami. Om Jnana Tamirandasya Gina Gina Shalakaya Chaksur Unmilitam Jaina Tasmai Shigurve Namaha. So Srila Prabhupada is saying here, it's very difficult to find the Lord from the Vedic literatures. But if a liberated devotee, such as Shukadev Goswami, enlightens us, then it's easy to understand the Lord. But also, Srila Prabhupada is in that category of a liberated devotee who is able to grant us the knowledge that we need to understand the Lord. And the Lord himself says, as they surrender unto me, I reward them accordingly. Or to one who is devoted and worships me with love, I give the understanding by which he can come to me. We're at the beginning of this chapter, where Maharaj Parikshit, Prabhupada would say Parikshit usually, it's also Parikshit, both are same person, same name, can be pronounced either way, apparently. So He's being cursed here by the Brahmin boy. And the whole first canto is leading up to this this aspect. This is actually why the Bhagavatam is spoken, because it was spoken to Maharaj Parikshit in the 7 days that were leading up to his ultimate departure from the material world. And there are many in this canto, there are many wonderful different aspects of his life and his ancestors' lives. I wanted to give just a short history of some of the ancestors of Maharaj Parikshit. So, before his birth, of course, his paternal grandfather was Arjun of the Pandavas. And so years before Parikshit was born, Arjun was met with Lord Krishna in Dwarka. And he told Krishna that he was interested in Krishna's little sister, Subhadra Devi. Lord, interested in marrying her means. So Krishna said, I think it's a fabulous idea, but the thing is that my brother Paladeva already has someone else in mind for her, and he would probably be furious if his plans were thwarted, you know. He said, but actually, the more I think of it, it's really a good idea, you know. So why don't you, you can kind of get your foot in the door there, pretend to be a sannyasi, and that way you can, meet with her, and she can get to know you, and she'll see how wonderful you are, and she'll want to marry you, you know. So they hatched this plan, and, when we hear of this, we think it's a little humorous, you know. I mean, in certain aspects it is. It's funny. But, I mean, in modern day, if somebody, say somebody in ISKCON were to say that he's a sannyasi and he's not really a sannyasi, it would be, considered a scandal, and, he would become like a persona non grata, means because right away there would be emails sent out with his photo to all the temples saying this person is doing such and such. And so it would be, but of course, this is Krishna Lila, means anything that Krishna decides to do is perfect and complete. So it's not, can't compare it to any material situation at all. Just as the purport speaking about the difference of the parashakti, the internal potency of God, the divine energy, and then there's the material energy, the inferior energy, the aparashakti. So we want to be absorbing Krishna's internal potency, param drishtva anuvartate. We want to have a higher taste in life, and that's the only way that we can actually give up the inferior energy, is by really getting a higher taste. So, back then they didn't have, of course, the internet. They didn't have cameras even. So, people may have, they can hear of people, but they didn't really know exactly what they looked like until they saw them, met them face to face. So Arjun actually did that. He dressed up as sannyasi clothing and went to visit, stayed in Baladev, invited him into his palace for a week. And invited him to dinner several times. And so So Bhakti Devi anyway, she had heard about Arjuna all the time, but she hadn't met him yet, so she didn't know that it was him. But finally, somehow, he kidnapped her, and she was in complete accordance with it, and Baladev became furious, of course, and sent out, went out to chase after him, to kill him. But finally Lord Krishna calmed Baladev, and he assured him that this was the best thing, and so peace was established. And later they had their son Abhimanyu. So, then later, the Pandavas got cheated out of their rightful property, and they had to spend 13 years in exile, 12 years just roaming or normal exile, and then the last year they had to be incognito, means if any of the Kauravas discovered them, they would immediately be sent back into another 13 years of exile. So, how did they accomplish that? Well, just before the final year, Arjuna decided that he would visit his father in the spiritual world, in the heavenly planets, his father being Lord Indra, the chief demigod. So he went there and he gained a lot of further astral weapons and certain knowledge that he needed, knowledge of different mantras that he needed to achieve success in battle. And while there, one day they were in a big assembly, and Arjuna was on the, in the assembly, and then there was the whole crowd watching them. And the person sitting next to Arjuna said, "Well, you see that lady sitting over there with the blue sari on?" And there was a beautiful, very beautiful lady there. And he said, "Yeah, she's very beautiful." And he said, "Who is she?" And the person next to him said, "This is Urvashi. She looks really young, but actually she's thousands of years old." And Arjuna said, "Urvashi? Wow, she was the wife of King Kururavas, my great-great-great-great-great-grandfather. I can't believe she looks like that. Wow, amazing, you know." And Urvashi had seen Arjuna looking at her, so later that night she came to him, she was attracted to him. Being an apsara, apsaras don't seem to care so much about family relationships and what they did 1,000 years ago, or it's not, they're pretty much in an enjoying spirit, it seems. So she wanted to have a relationship with Arjuna. So she came to his door. And he knew what she wanted, and he said, "Oh, Mataji." And he wouldn't even look her in the face because she was so beautiful, he knew he'd probably melt or something. So he just looked at her feet and said, "Mataji, I cannot. This is, you're like one of my revered mothers. This is not possible, you know." And she became livid, and she cursed him. She said, "You'll become a eunuch." And of course this was like, for him, was horrendous. So he went to his father, and so his father went to oversee and discuss the situation, and she relented that, okay, just for 1 year, you can, I'll reduce my curse. So for 1 year, he has to become a eunuch. So Arjuna left the abode of Indra and went back to his brothers. And at that point, they had to begin their 1 year of being incognito. So this curse actually turned out to be a benediction for him at that time. And so they were wondering, where are we going this last year? Finally, they decided, we're going to the court of Virat. The court of Virat, the Maharaj Virat's kingdom was in what's modern-day Rajasthan. It's north of Jaipur. It's in between Alwar and Jaipur. And so they went there, and they went all separately so that people wouldn't think that they were related or anything. And they had alternate names. Arjun took the name Brihanala, and his profession was a eunuch and a dance teacher and can do so many things like that, artistic things like that. So, and Yudhishthira, his older brother, was Kanka, so he was had been previously the advisor to a king. So he was a Brahminical advisor, and Bhimasen was the cook, and Nakula and Sahadev took care of the horses and like that. So and Draupadi was Sailendri. She was a beautiful. She had been. This is what they said. She had been the maidservant of a queen. So that's how they presented themselves. And when the king, looked at Brihadnala, he said, "Well, this guy's a eunuch. I'm not sure if I believe it. He's pretty big, and he's like this." So they said. So he had his physicians check him out, examine him. And they did, and they said, yes, this man is actually a eunuch, because the curse had taken effect. And so he said, all right, then if that's the case, he can teach my daughter dance. The princess, he had at least the two children that we hear about that he had. He had Uttara Kumar, his son, and then Uttara, his daughter. So he taught Uttara dance. So what happened then is that at the end of the year, finally, Arjun was the first to come out, and he had to, when Maharaj Virat and Kanka and all the able-bodied men in the whole kingdom were out fighting a war, then what happened is the Kauravas decided to come and steal all the cows, so there was nobody to fight. And Kumar, Uttara Kumar, the prince, he was a fairly young boy, I mean probably between like 14 and 16 or something like that. He wasn't really supposed to be of battle age. But he was walking around with a lot of bravado, like, oh, if I only had a chariot driver, I would certainly vanquish these Kauravas. I can do it. He was like that because nobody else left. Everybody else was out of the kingdom at the time. So Sailendri, Draupadi spoke up and she said, did you know, Kumar, that actually Brihadnala was previously the chariot driver of Arjun for a period of time. And he was even with him when he went and vanquished the Nimitta Kavachas, you know? And he said, what? Really? Is that true? And so they got it so that he would drive the chariot for Kumar. And but what actually happened is that when Kumar went out and saw, you know, Grandfather Bhishma, Duryodhana, and saw who he had to fight against, he completely became terrified and he couldn't do anything. So Arjun told him, okay, you just drive my chariot and I'll deal with them, you know. And he drove around, got his weapons, which they had hidden in a tree previously, came back, and he single-handedly vanquished everybody. And the cows were saved. When everybody came back from the battle, his father and Yudhishthir, as Konka, everybody came back. So finally, what happened, he eventually found out that they were the Pandavas staying with him. And when Maharaj Virat found that out, because he had been offensive, he had been offensive to Kanka or Yudhishthir, and he had thrown his dice at him because he told him that it was because of Brihanoa that the Kurus had been vanquished. And he said, what? No, it was my son. Don't you ever say that. And he threw some dye at him, some dice, and they hit him and it started to bleed. And Sarindra came running forward with the cloth because she knew that there was a curse that whoever causes Yudhishthir's blood to touch the ground would immediately die. So she caught this blood. And so finally, they came out to him and said, yes, we are the Pandavas. And he was so, he said, oh my God, I've been so offensive to you. I'm so sorry. Please take half of my kingdom. Please take my daughter, Uttara Devi. He said to Arjun, she should be your wife. And Arjun said, no, she's been like my daughter. I've been teaching her dance. She should marry my son, Abhimanyu. So this is how Maharaj Virat came, the other grandparent of Parikshit, and Arjun was the two grandparents, grandfathers. And so Uttara Devi married Abhimanyu, and then later, we'll read in this canto, Uttara Kumar became the king after Maharaj Virat stepped down, you know, after so many years. And later Uttara Kumar became the king. And what, interestingly, who did his daughter marry? His daughter, her cousin, his daughter married Janamejai, the son of Maharaj Parikshit. So it's kind of keeping it in the family. Janamejai was the grandson, was the great-grandson of Arjun. His Parikshit is his grandson. And that daughter of Uttara Kumar. Anyway, back to the story of now. Now here we are. He's about to become cursed. Parikshit's about to become cursed by the Brahmin boy. Before this happened, Yudhishthir, we read how the Pandavas retired timely. When it was time after Lord Krishna left the planet, they said, we're also going. But he enthroned his grandson. Why? Because Parikshit's father, Abhimanyu, had been killed in the Battle of Kurukshetra. So he enthroned Parikshit as the emperor of the world. And when Parikshit was cursed, after that, Well, he realized, how did this happen? Of course, he, you know, went into the king's, went into the sage's hermitage. The sage was in deep samadhi, genuine, deep, real, deep meditation. He wasn't faking it or anything. He was totally absorbed in the internal potency, and he didn't even notice anything external. He didn't notice that the king had arrived in his humble hermitage. So, but Hirakshit was felt offended, and he threw a dead snake. He garlanded the sage with a dead snake. So later, Hirakshit was thinking over this, and he thought to himself, why was I taken over by Krodha? Why did this happen? Why did I insult a great Maharshi? This is not my nature at all. It's not. I've never done this before. I've never been offensive to a Brahmin like that. Why did this happen? I understand that they always must be respected. So we can understand that actually this is because it's Krishna and Lila. Because if we look back, even in in this same canto we're in, like if we go back to the 12th chapter, it's explaining the Brahmins predicted his death at the time of his, when he was born. They predicted exactly how he would die and everything. So that means that it's Krishna's lila. Krishna wanted this to happen for other events to be able to unfold and take place. So, when Pariksha was thinking like this, why was I so offensive to him? And therefore, he did not get angry at Shrigi, the sage's son, for cursing him to die in 7 days. He didn't get angry with him, and he was capable of giving a pratishapam, means a counter curse. He was capable of doing that, but he didn't. Because he understood also that this is Lord Krishna's plan for me. And I just have to give up everything and have to get the highest taste and be able to renounce everything. And he had a lot to renounce. I mean, in terms of, he had everything. He was the emperor of the entire planet. But he realized, as especially this purport is telling us, that he needed the association of a liberated devotee like Shukadeva Goswami. And fortunately, the son of Vyas was there, and Vyasaki, unto the son of Vyas. Vyasaki is another name for Shukadeva Goswami. So he had, by the mercy of Krishna, he had such an enlightened soul to to teach him self-realization, to teach him transcendental knowledge. And he took advantage of it and listened to him for 7 days without even eating or sleeping. He was really absorbed. And another reason why, there was another reason why the death of Pariksit was determined. Another past incident. When the Pandavas conquered Kandavaprastha, also known as Indraprastha, the head of the snakes, Takshaka, was residing there peacefully. And when the Pandavas arrived, he felt his freedom was restricted, so he sent out his associates to attack them. This widespread attack resulted in the death of many people. Everyone except the Pandavas and their wife, Draupadi. So after this incident, a Arjun lifted his bow. He set fire to Nagaloka, the area where the snakes lived. And Takshaka grew even more furious, and he vowed that he would kill a future person in the lineage of the Pandavas. This was his vow. So this is another reason why events turned out like this. So the vow of Takshaka and the curse of Rishi Shamika's son Shrimbi resulted in the ultimate destiny of Pariksit to be killed by snake bite, like that. So what happened on hearing after Pariksit was killed by Takshaka. This is later on in this, later on, well, in the 11th, 12th canto, like that, that we see this, that story, the final chapter of that story. What happens is that Pariksit's son, Janamejai, vowed to kill Takshaka within a week. And actually, he began a Sarpa-Satra Yajna, a snake yajna, to kill all the snakes in the entire universe. I mean, he was wholesale, killing all the snakes. And he cursed them all to fall into the oven, into the fire. So this was happening. I mean, millions of snakes were dying. And Takshaka took shelter in Indra, and Indra tried to save him, but what happened was even Indra was being pulled into the fire, so a lot of sages came together to talk to Janamejai, including like Ashtakamuni, Brihaspati, and so many learned people, influential sages and demigods came to talk to him and said, please stop this. You only wanted one, you have revenge against one snake, valid revenge, not millions of snakes. This is not sensible, you know. And so he did stop, and he stopped just before Takshaka was ready to fall in, so Takshaka didn't die, you know. And I thought this was, we read this in the 16th chapter, just two chapters before. I thought this was really significant, that it stated that Janamejai was very much affected by Pariksit's untimely death. I mean, so much so that at the end of this Sarpa Yajna, all the sages, Vyas was there. You know, so he went to Vyasadeva and he expressed to him, I'm so overcome with grief by my father's death that I can't get over it. Can you please help me? So Vyas actually arranged for Pariksit to come back to life before Janamejai. So that happened. And Janamejai worshipped both his father and Vyas with great respect and pomp. And then, being fully satisfied, then his heart was satisfied, finally. The grief was soothed, you know. So his heart was satisfied, and he gave in charity to the Brahmins present at the sacrifice. So I thought that was very astonishing, that Vyas arranged for Pariksit to come back just for short time, and his son was able to assuage his deep-seated grief. So then in previously in chapter 12, we had read the predictions of the Brahmins on the birth of Pariksit. And so we know that when he was in the womb of his mother, Uttara, and he was suffering because the burning heat of the Brahmashtra thrown by Ashwatthama was there. But he could see the Supreme Lord, this child in the womb could see Krishna coming toward him. And it's explained in the 12th chapter of the first canto, the Lord was only as big as a thumb. He was all transcendental. He had a beautiful blackish, infallible body, wore a dress of lightning yellow, and a helmet of blazing gold. He had four hands, earrings of molten gold, and eyes blood red with fury. His club constantly circled him like a shooting star. So this is what the child in the womb saw this. So the Lord vanquished the radiation from the Brahmashtra, just as the sun evaporates a drop of dew. And while the child, Parikant, in the womb was observing him, the Lord disappeared. And then the child took birth, and the guardian grandfather of the child, King Yudhishthira, had the purificatory process of birth performed, and the learned Brahmins appeared. And this is where the Brahmins are going to speak, and they're going to tell of the future of this baby that was just born, Parikant. And they're going to explain its death and everything. So it means that it was ordained always. So upon the birth of this grandson, King Yudhishthira gave gold, land, villages, elephants, horses, and good food grains to the Brahmins. The Brahmins, this is what the Brahmins said. This child will be known in the world as one who is protected by the personality of Godhead. And King Yudhishthira inquired, he asked the Brahmins, O great souls, will he become as saintly a king as others who have appeared in this great royal family? The Brahmin said, O son of Pritha, this child shall be exactly, so they're explaining all the great personalities who this child will be like. He will be just like King Ikshvaku, the son of Manu, in maintaining those who are born. And in following the Brahminical principles, he shall be exactly like Rama, the personality of Godhead, the son of Maharaj Dasharatha. This child will be a munificent donor of charity and protector of the surrendered, like the famous King Shibi of the Ushinara country. And he will expand the name and fame of his family like Bharat, the son of Maharaj Dushyanta. Among great bowmen, the child will be as good as Arjun, his paternal grandfather. This child will be strong as a lion and worthy a shelter as the Himalaya mountains. He will be like his grandfather Yudhishthira or Brahma in the equanimity of mind. He will be munificent like the Lord of Kailash Hill, Mahadev, Shiva. He will be the resort of everyone like the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Narayan, who is even shelter of the Goddess of Fortune. And this child, the Brahmin said, will be almost as good as Lord Sri Krishna by following in his footsteps. He will become great as King Runti Dev. In religion, he will be like Maharaj Yayati. The child will be like Bali Maharaj in patience and a strong devotee of Lord Krishna like Pramad Maharaj. And then the Brahmins, this is at the time of the child's birth, then they predicted his death. The Brahmins continued in their predictions. After hearing about his death, which will be caused by the bite of a snake bird sent by the son of Brahman, he will get himself freed from all material attachment and surrender unto the personality of Godhead, taking shelter of him. And after inquiring about proper self-knowledge from the son of Vyasadeva, who will be a great philosopher, he will renounce all material attachment and achieve a life of fearlessness. So it's explained that another name for Purikkat is Vishnu Rata. This is explained in this canto also, a little bit later, in the 19th chapter. A name for him is Vishnu Rata, means one who is always protected by Vishnu. So, by the mercy of Maharaj Purikkat, this entire Bhagavatam was spoken, and we get the benefit of hearing all the stories in the Bhagavatam because of him and Shukadeva Goswami and the Bhagavatam. It's the perfection of life to hear, study, read, touch a Bhagavatam. The book Bhagavat and the person Bhagavat are non-different. So we're so fortunate that Srila Prabhupada came, translated this book into English for us, and saved our lives by thus doing so. And and Maharaj Purikkat felt that he was very blessed to have the son of Vyasa, Shukadeva Goswami, narrate this entire Bhagavatam to him in the 7 days prior to his departure from the material world into the spiritual world. Does anybody have any questions or comments? Yes. Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you so much for details. I really like that. For the details, thank you so much. The details you provided. Thank you. So, yeah. How do we understand that he became disciple by just listening to Papa?
Can you just pull your mask down and talk into the mic closer so I can hear you clearly.
How do we understand, just by listening to Srimad Bhagavatam, he became a disciple? How do we understand that? Can you elaborate?
Say that what she said, Prabhu. How do we understand what?
How can we understand that Sukhdev Goswami, just by listening, Parikshit Maharaj became a perfected disciple.
Oh, well, Shravanam Kirtanam Vishnu Smaranam Padasevanam Dasyam. You know, there's 9 processes of devotional service. So one of them is hearing, and one of them is chanting. So they were at least engaged in 2 of the processes, and Shukadeva Goswami was reciting, and Maharaj Purikkat was hearing. And he took it straight to his heart. And his heart was pure, because Lord Krishna was in his heart, as he's in everybody's heart, but he was, you know, he was following in his footsteps, and he was a pure devotee his entire life. Well, no initiation, is that what she said? Yeah. Well, I'm sure that, you know, we don't hear his really detailed life of Purikkat, and I'm sure that he went through life and, of course, they had a family guru. Just it says here, the Brahmins that were speaking were Damya and, let's see.
So yeah, they had gurus, and he had, of course. Domi and Tripa, you know, they had, you know, at the time of his birth, you know, they had proper. He was in the family of the when he was growing up in the family of the emperor of the whole planet. So of course they had very qualified Brahmins there the whole time advising Yudhishthira and the Pandavas. They were set up very properly, Vedically, to have Brahminical advisors. Because they were Kshatriyas, so they knew they needed the advice from the Brahmins. This is how they lived. They didn't think, well, I'm the king of the world, I don't need anybody's help. No. they knew, we have to have Brahminical advisors. That's precisely why, when Parikshit realized, I put a snake on a Brahmin who was deep in samadhi. Why did I do that? I'm not understanding, because I've never done something like that before. It's not my nature. That's why. He was thinking that, it says, in the Bhagavatam. No? And they came to the realization, it's later, you know, this is Krishna's arrangement for me, you know, to become enlightened. So I have to take this arrangement, and I have to give up everything. And believe me, as the emperor of the whole planet at that time, he had more material things than anybody could ever think of having, you know, in terms of having all the land, the villages, the gold, the jewels, the money, anything he wanted, you know, he gave it all up in 7 days, you know. So, I don't know if that answers your question, but.
And it's hard to know. Sometimes, like, is this Krishna's plan? Like, you know, for ourselves, like, Maharaj Parikshit was like, okay, now I... At first he was lamenting, and then he was like, oh, this is part of Krishna's plan. So sometimes it's hard to understand, you know, what's Krishna's plan and what we're supposed to try to change or...
Yeah, I mean, apparently, because the Brahmins had spoken this at the time of his birth, you know, to Yudhishthira. But apparently nobody told Parikshit about this, because it was kind of a shock to him. Oh, I'm cursed to die in 7 days? And like hadn't been told that, you know. Although a few other people at least knew, you know, at the time. They didn't make that knowledge, you know, widespread knowledge. But yeah, so what do we do? We have to, you know, just as being servants of Prabhupada, servants of the Lord, we have to see, just do our best in every circumstance and see whatever results we get as the mercy of the Lord, you know. Yeah. And hope that someday we can be absorbed fully in the internal potency of the Lord. And that means that you're kind of like you're lying on the lap of Krishna. Instead of letting the modes control you, Krishna, Govinda is dictating what you're going to do, it means.
And then also sometimes, you know, you're hearing the stories and they sound so tragic. Just like, you know, the one who's deaf, but then there's a backstory, or the one who's...
There's always reasons, and there's usually a lot of reasons.
So I'm thinking, you know, even with ourselves, when somebody leaves, it's so, you know, so sad and unfortunate, but...
I mean, the way I see it, here, this is Kali Yuga, you know, and... I know, at least for myself, I can only speak for myself, but I mean, I know, I'm like a very sinful person, you know, especially in the past, you know, before I started to chant Hare Krishna. And so, any mercy that I get from Prabhupada and from the deities, I really appreciate, because you know, so yeah, I mean, we're given the chance to go back to Godhead. It's like, astounding, you know. Krishna is kind.
Hare Krishna, very nice class. As she was mentioning, how is it that he came to a point of realization of his ties to material elements were cut. Where did that come from? And as you mentioned, it was one of the nine processes of devotional service. Joe Prabhupada mentioned there's two kinds of knowledge. One is knowledge that is understood by book learning, and then there's realized knowledge that comes from action in Krishna consciousness as a result of that knowledge. So that knowledge brings us to the point of service, and then that service, those nine processes, is what brings us to realization of our relationship with Krishna. That becomes more and more clear as we do more and more service. And so it's the realization of Krishna's presence, that reality, that brings us to the point of having that higher taste that no longer attaches us to those material fears based upon attachment, and losing those attachments, etc. So it's a realization, I don't need these things.
Yes, I agree.
Hi, I think you had a discussion about this nice Prabhu that in Bhagavad Gita with a young Krishna community. And the reason why I'm afraid that only that person had a fame and it's like ownership to the Lord, and sometimes that relationship is shown as a young. Because it's a person who found in the presence of pure devotees, regaling with the texts of the Vedas, inspiring excitement for people to want to follow Krishna. So sometimes when somebody experiences sannyas, it's because of that lacking in Krishna. Because we only know in that circumstance of the sannyas. The one who was king of the world, probably very famous in the world, known to everybody being the presence of Krishna. So it's a suggestion of how we can learn and understand more.
Okay. We've got a question online. Okay.
You can just read to the because they are all related to you. You can mention something that you think I need to hear.
How many? Somebody's asking, Mahavishnu Priya Devi is asking, how many years was Maharaj Parikit's reign before he died? Does anybody know? I'm not sure. That would have to be, I would have to research that. I don't know for sure. But he had sons and like that, so it was a while. And, oh yeah, it says, what I have read, it says that by, this is Chitari Prabhu, what I read, it says that by yoga practice, Parikit had already left his body. The only thing that happened was that the bite of the snake bird caused his body to burst into flames. Yes, I believe that's correct. That's also stated in the Bhagavatam. That actually, right at the precise moment of death, when the snake bird was about to bite him, actually, yeah, he had already just entered into samadhi then, and then the snake bird bit him. Yeah, that's according to Bhagavatam that it's correct, I believe, because I was reading that the other day, too. Jaigori. Bengalis pronounce Parikit. Okay. And is this Parikit versus Parikshit? Is that something like Prashad or Prashadam, a regional language difference? Probably, maybe apparently, if Jaigori says that Bengali is pronounced Parikit. Yeah. Oh, and then Madhurya Leela Devi says 37 years, I believe, was the reign of Parikit. So, thank you very much, Jan. Vantaraj Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai.